Blind Cool Tech 129, September 25, 05. Hey y'all, how are you? I'm Larry Zgutkan, your host for this edition of Feedback on Blind Cool Tech.
What is Blind Cool Tech?
Is it a video game for blind people?
Periodically, we try to provide some user feedback because there's lots of good information contained here. And I asked for your opinions on this one time and got a few, but I'd still like to get a few more. So if you do have comments on how we're doing this, or ways we can improve or eliminate it, please do let us know. Couple of notes. One, a listener a while back had asked about making the ASAP available on the website, and I have done that. I don't have a link for it yet, but there is a direct URL, which is blindcooltech.com/asapdemo.zip. So for those of you that are interested in that, we have that. Also, I've done a redesign of the Blind Cool Tech webpage. Tried to put a few links at the top and get more straight into the reading material for new people that get to the site, so they don't have to wade through so much explanation. And then if they do want the explanation, it's right there available for them. All right, let's go ahead and get right into the email. Lisa Hall had written an email last week wondering about a blind person being able to be a Braille transcriber as opposed to just a proofreader. So I posed the question to a few people at APH, and there actually is no problem at all. One of the things that Jack wrote back was that, you would have to move to Louisville. But I suspect that's pretty much the case anywhere you do permanent transcription work. Now, Jane Thompson over at APH may have some opportunities for some remote transcription work, so you may want to check that out.
Hi all, I would love some brand and model numbers of external stereo mics that work well with digital recorders. Either lavalier or binaural headsets would be fine. There are pluses with both types. This would help a lot of other folks too. Thanks, from Mary Bottom.
Okay, Mary, good point. And one of the things that we've done on the new redesigned website is to have a frequently asked questions section, and one of the items in there is microphones. So as I get feedback from listeners, I'll be adding more information in the microphone section about that. I went ahead and put in the information about the binaural microphones that I'm using, and another section about amplified microphones like you would have to use with the Arcos jukebox and other MP3 recorders that require you to use the line-in jack.
Hello, Larry. I have a question. How do you delete the feeds after importing from an OPML file without iPod or starting to scan? Is there any way to erase the shows that I don't want? Or do I have to do a select command? Aloha, Keo Bottom.
Okay, what you want to do, if you want to go into iPodder, which I highly recommend without starting the scan, is to go to the file menu, and the preferences there, one of the options is to not scan at startup. And as far as deleting episodes, you can just delete them with Windows Explorer. Debbie Norling had asked about that earlier, and yeah, there's no problem at all with that. Just open up the folder where iPodder is putting those feeds and just delete away. In fact, that's often the way I do it, is just move the feed, the shows, over to my book port, which essentially eliminates them from the hard disk.
Thanks so much. I am so thrilled with Media Center even using Narrator. We have ripped all our CDs into Media Center, so as well as having great access to TV for a change, I really love the flexibility that Media Center gives me with my music. I can select by artist, album, song, genre, etc. The search feature works really well. We haven't figured everything out yet as it takes a while to get used to everything, but I'm so pleased with the purchase, and thanks for letting us know about this product. Original message from...
Okay, that was from Peggy about the Media Center show, and I'm going to do another show about Media Center and focus a little bit more on the 2005 additions to it, but yeah, I agree with you. This is the most accessible way to be able to record shows, and I don't actually use the music part of it very much. I prefer the old-fashioned way, I guess, of just highlighting the songs or the albums that I want to play and just letting Media Player do it, from Windows Explorer. But I'll have to try the Media Center approach.
Message. I discovered your site on Dean Martin Knows Top Tech Tidbits column. It looks like a great resource. Is there a way to subscribe so that I can get each episode as it comes out? Thanks in advance. Sharon Fridley, program.
I added a subscribe link right to the top of the page. I think Sharon must have wrote this email when I was in the middle of changing the layout of the page. And I had the subscription information under frequently asked questions. So now it's right there at the top, so hopefully that'll be a little more obvious to you guys.
Hi Larry, I've heard that too, about walking in the desert. I have even heard that a European general, being lost with an entire army, found a right-handed soldier and a left-handed soldier to lead them. He strapped them together so they would compensate for each other's tendency to circle. I think you tend to move to your strong side, so the left-handed person would walk clockwise while the right-handed person will walk counterclockwise. In this case, the left-handed person's right wrist was tied to the right-handed person's left wrist. I could have this backwards, but that's what I remember hearing. It could all be mirage, bottom.
Yeah, I think I've heard things along that line too, and what we're referring to here is the point of reference show, where we mentioned that if you don't have an external point of reference, the tendency is to walk in a giant circle, thinking that you're going straight. So that's an interesting story there.
Hi Larry, I like the idea of the device getting warmer the closer to your set direction you get, and cooler the farther away you get. I don't think it would sell though. Bottom.
Yeah, that's an idea too. I think the problem there too is the speed of cooling it off. Of course, that would put new meaning to you're getting warmer.
Message. Hi Larry, I heard that podcast you did with that guy about maps and I cannot figure it out. I went to http://www.ski.org/map and like it doesn't tell how to download a map or anything. Can you help me please? Thanks, Holly, and Ed too.
Yeah, hi Holly. What you need to do is send an email to Josh and ask to be put on the beta because this hadn't gone live yet. So I think what you're seeing there is just sort of a demonstration, kind of a concept. But once you get on the beta, you'll be able to log in, and it's very, very cool.
I certainly hope to be hearing from many of you about this project. Anybody who's interested in participating, I want your help. So here's the part where I tell you how to get in touch. By telephone, please call 415-345-2013. To send us email, you can send a message to tmap@ski.org.
Hi. For a while now I've been checking out this cool podcast called The Digital Media Cast Experiment. It's hosted by a guy named Michael Carino. He works for a company called Logic Assistance.
I highly recommend this podcast as well, and I've added it to the Best of the Best zip file, so you may want to check that out. I'll also put a link to it in today's show notes. The URL is... dmcex.com blindcoolblog.com.
Hi, Larry. I just wanted to let you know how much I enjoy all of your podcasts. I have been an avid listener to Blind Cool Tech from day one, but have recently had 3 weeks without internet connectivity. I really miss my regular fix of Blind Cool Tech, and am now trying to catch up with quite a backlog of podcasts. I tried to send you a 3 MB MP3 as an attachment to an email last night, but I guess mail does not like attachments of that size, so I am going to attempt to get it to you via your FTP site. The file is a recording I made which gives you feedback on the podcasts, and offers some sound-seeing tours for your podcast. I won't go into detail here, have a listen to what I say, and if you like, play it on your podcast, and let me know what you think.
Hi Larry, and all other listeners. I just wanted to say thanks for such an absolutely brilliant podcast, Larry. My name's Donna Slater, and I've been listening to Blind Cool Tech from day one, really. Really enjoy all aspects of the podcast, find the technical information that you give very useful, and the sound scene tours with the binaural microphones are just stunning. They're absolutely excellent. The stereo effects on those are incredible. I'm really envious. I live in the UK and I have two young children. And as a means of keeping a record of things that we do rather than photographs, I use the Plex Talk and sort of do sound scene tours, in that when we go away anywhere or on important occasions, I get out the Plex Talk, clip on the lapel mic and stick the Plex Talk in my backpack and basically forget about it. I then come back from wherever we've been and edit the material so that my kids also have a CD of wherever we've been. And they absolutely love that. They think it's brilliant. And along with the pictures that my husband takes, they have a really full record of things that we've done. I was wondering about sharing some of these sound seeing tours, for want of a better name for them, with other listeners. But there are a couple of things that make me wonder whether these would be at all appreciated. First of all, I am recording, as I said, on the Plex Talk, and I'm not a professional sound recordist. I basically just have the Plex Talk in a backpack, have a lapel mic on, and more or less forget about it. The mic I'm currently using is a mono one, because the Plex Talk doesn't record in stereo unless you record from the line in which case I gather you have to have a preamp. And I'm not aware yet of which microphones use preamps and which are small enough to do what I want, really. So my recordings are in mono. The next thing is that basically my recordings are all made with, well, let's say people from the very north of England, and we all have very northern UK accents. Now, I can actually swap and change my accent. I went to school in a place called Sheffield in England, and there I actually had to learn, really, to have a less northern accent. But when I came home from school at weekends, I used to get teased about my posh accent. And at the age of 5, that didn't go down too well. So I basically learned to chop and change accents. Well, subsequently, having been to university and worked away and various things like that, I've moved back to the north of England. My husband's northern, my family are northern, and so basically, because of the area I'm in, I tend to use my northern accent when I'm with my family and friends from the north of England. Therefore, all the sound scene tours, as I said, basically use very much a northern UK accent, and I'm not sure how people, especially people from the US, would find that. Some people really dislike the accent. So I'd like some feedback, really, as to whether or not to submit these sound seeing tours. As I say, they're not professional, but we have visited some interesting places. We went to York a few weeks ago and we visited the Jorvik, which is a Viking museum, but they've basically set up a ride through a Viking city and you get a commentary and a lot of the sound effects and the smells. Well, obviously I can't transmit the smells, but you do get our reactions to some of the smells you get. We visited the model train exhibition there, and that is absolutely huge. And you get various sound effects from the trains going by. We visited the railway museum and a massive maze, basically, which has, I think, about 5 miles of paths going through it. And the maze is done in the shape of a giant clock, a giant version of Big Ben, the clock on the Houses of Parliament in the UK. And so we visited this maze, and that had various activities for the children to do as we went around. And we took a boat trip down the River Ouse. And again, I recorded the commentary from the boat trip. Now, the sound levels on that weren't very good, but the commentary is still intelligible. So if people are interested, I would be willing to submit these sound scene tours. There is a lot of interaction with the children because basically, you know, they're two youngsters and they're very lively kids, really. So if people don't go for sound scene tours with a lot of kiddie stuff involved, then basically, you know, it might not be your thing. So perhaps you could let me know your views on this. My email address is Donna, D-O-N-N-A, dot Slater, S-L-A-T-E-R, at TalkTalk, T-A-L-K-T-A-L-K, dot net. And I think that's the easiest way to contact me. Okay, thank you for your time and keep up the good work, Larry. The podcasts are absolutely excellent and I really do envy those microphones. I want some. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Donna. And as the listeners know, we already played your Jorvik Viking Museum tour and got a little bit of good feedback on it. Not a whole lot yet, but as I mentioned to Donna in an email, sometimes you don't get feedback on a podcast, or at least not on this podcast, for some time. And it's kind of an odd phenomena because, you know, you think, well, I've thrown that out there and I guess it wasn't such a good idea. Nobody said anything about it. But often people will hear about it a week later or a month later and comment about it. So I wrote back to Donna and said, yes, definitely. I mean, how often do an average American guy like me get to go to England and go on some of these tours? So absolutely love to have more sound seeing tours from other listeners too. And you know, the accent, Donna, hey, listen to mine. People are putting up with that, so yeah, keep them coming. Really appreciate them.
Hi, Larry. I finally have my drive letter, and it works just fine. The next thing I have to do, is figure out how to get the line mode to Joe's mic. On a totally unrelated subject, the LG 4650 rocks. Thanks for the tour of the phone, and after I fought with Bitpum for a while, I imported a cool ring to the phone. The quick link worked like a charm. I have 35 numbers in my contact list. Thanks. Regards, Ken Bottom.
Okay, Ken, We do have those iRiver menus, at least for the $8.99, up on the site there. I don't know if I would trust those or not. What I've done is get a sighted person to set the external mic for me because basically I'm not going to be using the Lion In anyway. And that doesn't mean you can't use the internal mic. You know, there's four modes. You're either in MP3 or in FM or in voice recording or line-in recording. So if you're in voice recording, you're going to be using the built-in mic, whether or not you have the external mic. That is only a setting for the line-in mode. So I would get that set and just leave it there.
Hi, Larry. I just got my DS2 and love it. Based on your descriptions in the podcast, the design has changed. My machine looks like a narrow, tall device, about 4 times taller than it is wide, sort of like a thick stick. There are 2 rows of buttons on it. One row is record and stop, the other is rewind, play and forward. Down the right side are 4 buttons and a switch. The switch is volume, with 2 buttons in it, so I guess you could call it a group instead of a switch. The other buttons are index for an index mark to mark your place, display which is like a menu option, folder, which only deletes one time as you select folders, so you don't really know where you are, and erase which doesn't seem to work like you described. You can't push it twice to make it erase something. I'll just hook it to the PC to erase stuff. I upgraded the software to DSS Plus, which supposedly lets you change menu options from the PC, but all I can find is changing mic sensitivity from off to 1 or 2 or 3. I don't know how to change it between conference and dictation, but I know pushing rewind while recording will adjust the mic in some way. Well, I hope this update makes sense. I guess these manufacturers are always fooling around with this stuff. But I love this machine, and will use it as a player too, putting ACB radio and your podcasts on it, and listening while walking around doing stuff. Thanks for mentioning all these goodies on the podcast. Hang in there, and I hope your week is going really great. From Mary Bottom.
Alright, Mary, thanks for the information about upgrading to the Plus software. I was actually wondering about how much more features you could access with that, and it looks like you gave us the answer. If you do find out any more about that, please update us. And, you know, actually, I think you're thinking of the review I did on the Olympus V90. That DS2 sounds exactly like the one I've got. And to delete a file, you hit the delete, and then a one above that, and then the one above that. And basically what you're doing is hit and delete, and then you get a yes no confirmation. So the one above delete switches it from no to yes, and then the one above that tells it to go ahead and execute the command and delete the file. So it's kind of handy to be able to delete right on the device.
Message: Larry, no model was left. I only know you are working with Bluetooth. I am guessing a GPU.
Oh, okay, yeah, this is something. I've been having the Bluetooth blues here. One of the last things I had to do to get everything on my Sony, oh, it takes so long to get a computer set up just the way you want it. But one of the last things I had to do was to get my Bluetooth radio on there. And, of course, I couldn't find the CD. That was really stupid of me. I usually keep very good track of those, and I kind of hated the fact that this particular CD, this was an IO Gear Bluetooth radio. It required a serial number, which I have philosophical problems with. When you have a piece of hardware and you still need to put a serial number for the CD. But anyway, I went to their site and tried to download their software. Couldn't get things working, so I wrote them an email and actually ended up now getting them working. It's not as nice as the way it used to be, but I'll live with it. I don't send that many files. Basically, what the difference is I used to be able to just sit in the living room and send a file to the PC down in the basement from my phone and not have to do any interaction on the PC. Well, now I have to initiate the file receive first. You right-click on the little Bluetooth icon and pick receive file, and then you send it from the phone. But that's all right. I didn't want to invest several hours in getting this working, so for the fairly small amount of time I use it, I think I'll just stick with it the way it is.
Hello to all. Check out the below websites that I have found useful. Podcasting 101 www.pod101.com. Link podcasts made and broadcasted via telephone www.telcasting.com. Link create RSS feeds. Edit and publish news feeds with software www.feedforall.com. Link Stephen A. Gara Asset.
Okay, that's some good links there, and I'll put those in the show notes. Thank you, Stephen.
Larry, if I understand correctly, the Olympus DS2 records in Dotnet format. What program are you using to edit these files since Studio Recorder doesn't support them? I own SoundForge 6, but find it a bit of a resource hog, not to mention a bit tough to use. For no more audio than I do, I suspect it was a bit of overkill for me to purchase it. I'm looking for a smaller, easier program to use. Thanks. Jamie Pauls.
Okay, hi Jamie. Actually, what I've been using is Goldwave to do that conversion. Theoretically, the software that comes with the DS2 will do it as well, but I honestly have found that I prefer using this device without the software. I'm having some issues. I have it installed at work, and I don't know what in the world I'm doing, but I've actually had stuff disappear off the device and show up in the recycle bin. And I was glad I found it there because it was some stuff I really wanted to keep. But theoretically, that software also has a conversion mechanism, but what I'm doing is just using Goldwave. And I believe there's probably a way to do batch conversion. Well, I know there is from inside the software. I've converted a lot of OGG files to MP3, like overnight, but I suspect there's also a way to do it from the command line, and I'll probably check into that here at some point fairly soon, because that would make my life a little easier to not have to open GoWave and then save it as a WAV file. It's not a big deal, but you know, any little step you can eliminate to help make the process more efficient is obviously a good one.
Message. First thing is to make sure the drivers are still installed.
Back to IO gear.
Hi, Larry. I was just listening to your point of reference podcast when you were describing passing a building on your right. Listening through my headphones, the building was on my left. I don't know whether my speakers are oriented incorrectly or if your binaural microphones were reversed, but I definitely could hear cars going from front to back and back to front. Bottom.
Okay, Tim. Yeah, I've got a voicemail here in a minute that we'll listen to that apparently I've been wearing these binaural microphones incorrectly. I couldn't, you know, there's a little rubbery, a rubber texture on the back of them, and I couldn't imagine that went toward the outside, but apparently you don't wear them over your ears like a pair of glasses. You wear them more in your ears, as Don Ball will describe to us shortly when we get to our email.
Dear editor, I invented software that might help blinds all over the world to hear less irrelevant information while they are surfing the web. This software is tested currently by the Association for the Blind Students in the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, Israel, and receives good feedback. You are invited to use the software for free. Please go to http://xaver.denalias.com. Thanks. http://xaver.blogspot.com. Bottom.
All right, let me give you the spelling on bottom, that in case you're interested. qtsaver.denalias.com. I tried going there, and I didn't spend a lot of time with it. I didn't find the software, but it sounds interesting, so if one of you guys wants to check it out, definitely let us know.
Hi, Larry. I am just writing to say that I love your shows. They are very fascinating, especially the artwork. However, I am writing to ask if you know of anyone who has a used book port for sale, or can you direct me to an appropriate list on which I can ask? Thanks, Tim Kilger. I'm a Jesus freak.
Hey, Tim. I don't know of anybody right offhand, but the book port list is a very, very active list, and I'm sure there would be somebody on there that might be able to provide you some information. If you'd like to join the bookport list, you can send a blank email to bookport-subscribe@freelists.org. Sometimes the list gets a little out of hand, and I Really hate to go in there and police it, but we may need to. I was pretty much away from it all last week, and it seems like it got out of control, and there were, a little bit of unprofessional behavior going on there, but we're going to try to tame that down next week. But that's a great resource for a lot of Bookport-related material, so check it out.
Hi, Larry. I was wondering if you want me to submit more sound-seeing tours or not. If so, the next one I would submit would be a boat trip down the river Ouse, pronounced Ouse, in York. The captain of the boat gives a great commentary, but unfortunately my recording levels were set too high, so it is somewhat distorted although still intelligible. If you are interested, I will submit this along with a short introduction again, just setting the background to the tour. If feedback has been negative about the last tour, that's okay. As I said, I just make these as my way of remembering occasions, so I'm happy to submit them, or not as the case may be. Thanks again for the great work. I loved the tours of Dallas, and definitely want to find out how to record in stereo on the Plextic, as the spatial effects you get are truly amazing. Regards, Donna. Donna dot Slater.
Okay, Donna, absolutely. I do want them. We've got a positive comment coming up here in a minute that you'll hear. I hadn't had any negative comments on them, and, you know, quite frankly, if someone doesn't like them, it's pretty easy to delete or fast forward. I provided some information about stereo recording on the Plextalk PTR1 via the line-in jack on the frequently asked questions section of the website, which basically amounts to you have to do pretty much what you have to do with the Arcos, and that is to use an amplified microphone and plug it into the line-in jack on the PTR1. And there's a couple of examples of some amplified microphones on that page as well, and I hope to get some more because I know people have had a little bit of trouble finding those.
Hi, Larry. I have not had a chance to listen to your podcasts in a couple of weeks, so I don't know if you mentioned or were aware of your feed problem. I am writing to let you know that your feed file keeps listing all of your episodes and is current. My podcatching client keeps downloading your episodes over and over. Bottom.
No, I'm absolutely not aware of that. If you could let us know which podcatching client you're using, I would love to check that out. That's not happening in the case of the few clients that I've checked it out with, and the RSS feed does validate. I know this wouldn't necessarily be a validation issue, but please get back with me. I'd love to get that corrected.
Hi, Larry. Still enjoying your podcasts here in South Africa. I try to find a suitable digital recorder locally. A guy at a store in one of the bigger cities stocks an Olympus DM20, and he claims that it can record for 44 hours. Do you know anything about this model? Regards, Famous Bottom.
I read about that model on the Olympus site, and doesn't sound like it does actually high-quality recording. Of course, when you go to the 44 hours, you know, they're talking about the very lowest quality. It just depends on what you want to use it for. If you're going to be doing recordings that you want to keep and that are really good high quality, I would go with the DS2 or the WS200S, which I'm still hoping to get a good review on here at some point. So it just depends on what you want to do with it. I'm sure that one would be fine just for keeping notes, as you know, as we I think we did a cast way back about sort of using one to just as a pencil, and you know, that's a lot different than to try to capture ambiance and interviews and so forth. I would never have tried that with that V90 that I had. Plus, the V90, and I don't think this one does either, you know, there's no interface to the PC, which is really important if you want to keep those files and edit them and so forth. I hope that helps a little bit. If you have any other questions, be sure and write back in. Glad you're enjoying the shows. And by the way, I'd love to have some sound seeing tours from Africa. With this could be really exciting for us Americans and Europeans as well.
Hi, Larry. Your willingness to accept submitted podcasts from others is yielding great and useful results. As I'm just learning to work with unedited audio material, Tim's series will be very helpful. And Donna Slater's York Jorvik tour is intriguing. Keep these coming, along with your own efforts, of course. Thank you. Lois Goodine-Bottom.
Yeah, I agree, Lois. I love these submissions from other people. Well, I was about to say especially the sound seeing tours, but that's not true. I love the sound seeing tours, the career profiles, the technical information. It's all good stuff, and really, really appreciate you guys sending those in and sharing them with us.
Hello from you, send it. You've got a file called DeLucerLex.x36kb waiting for download.
Okay, now somebody sent me a file that claims to make the NeoSpeech voices, I should say, more appropriate for use with JAWS and Window Eyes. Now, I haven't installed this yet, and there's no indication of who this is from or anything, so if you're the one that sent it, give us a little bit more information about this. You know, what's it doing? Because, you know, honestly, as far as I could tell, besides a little bit of sluggishness, those voices already work pretty darn good with Window Eyes and JAWS.
Larry, I've uploaded in two parts a cast about my career. In part one, I describe my various jobs, inviting listeners to speak up if they want to hear more about any of them. This takes a bit over 25 minutes, because my current job is my eighth. In part two, which is just under 17 minutes, I demonstrate the Canon 8050C scanner, which I use daily in my work. This time I produced this on my art shows, using quality 7 and 48K as the sample rate, the highest the art shows can go. I can still hear this weird hiss, despite using the highest quality the art shows has to offer. This time though, I didn't edit it at all, sent it to you straight from the art shows. I'm using the Jukebox Recorder Model 1. My current job involves producing textbooks for print-impaired community college students. I forgot to mention that, though I enjoyed the cast interview, the NIMA's legislation that requires publishers provide XML formatted e-text to students only applies for schools serving K-12. I feel very cynical about this legislation, because publishers often simply don't have e-text of their textbooks, and will do everything to avoid complying with the laws. They get e-text from the author, of course, but then they prepare the book in a graphical publishing package like Quark, which does not maintain the underlying text as it is more concerned with the visual page layout of a book. College and university students are not covered currently by NINAs, and though a California law asks publishers to provide e-text, it is so vaguely worded with so many loopholes that the majority of publishers ignore it. I am obliged to scan nearly all the textbooks I prepare for students, rarely getting e-text from publishers, and no doubt duplicating work that's already been done. To make my job even harder, students don't know the names of their books until their classes begin. Instructors frequently make textbook decisions at the very last minute. I can, of course, search the databases for other colleges that have already prepared the text I need, but I find that takes longer often since the information is decentralized. Many repositories exist, but we have no standard, all-inclusive, nationwide database of available college-level textbooks. So the method for getting a book to a student soonest is simply to scan it again. DB Bottom.
Okay, thanks DB for the career submission, which we'll be getting up there very soon. And the viewpoint from, quote, in the trenches, quote, about the NEMIS legislation. Those are all legitimate issues, and I would love to get a little bit of discussion going about these. You know, all the people on the NEMIS Development Committee really hope that all of these particular issues can be dealt with. We've got to go somewhere with this because, frankly, it doesn't make sense for everybody to be duplicating efforts all the time. You would have plenty of work if you could get a good text of the book and be able to devote more time to doing other things besides scanning and editing. So let's see if we can't have a little discussion about this. I'll try to get some people at APH to weigh in on these particular issues as well. And I do realize it's K through 12 to begin with, but you know, I think that the NEMIS Development Committee had to realize that they needed to start somewhere and, you know, maybe ask for a little more a little later. So I understand your concerns, and I hope we can get some discussion in this forum about those. Thanks for the thoughtful comments there, Debbie.
Hey Larry, I just wanted to pass along a comment on the podcast that you did on the Tuesday Night Bowling League. I'm not sure what type of microphones you were using, but they sounded great. It made me think of joining a local team down here. Anyway, keep up the great work. Chris from Missouri Bottom.
Oh, I would definitely encourage any of you all to join a bowling league or to get one set up. It's a great diversion. It's actually, believe it or not, it's good exercise. And it's lots of fun.
Message. Hi Larry, I played Tootle Tiles after I heard your review. I love it. I won the first time I played. It was so awesome. I did have it on the novice level though. I used to play Tiles all of the time before I lost my sight, and now y'all have made it possible for me to play it again. Thanks so much. Keep up the good podcasting, Holly, and that two people.
Well, great, Holly. I hope maybe you can actually provide us with, you know, some ideas that would make it easier or better for you. I think we gave it a pretty darn good first shot, and possibly, you know, just requiring some minor tweaks. I really like the way it indicates moving from level to level and indicates eligible tiles and shows you where the tiles are. Now, there's a bit of conceptualization that a person needs to do in order to get, you know, this whole idea of the tiered tiles and how to move around on the playing field and so forth, but glad you're enjoying it, and I hope that you'll get on the Tootle Tiles list and provide us with any feedback about ideas or stability and so forth.
Hi Larry, I am really enjoying your podcasts. I remember back a while or so you did two podcasts on our media. On the second one, which was Blind Cool Tech 85, you said that when you tried to upload Tool, it crashed. How have you been uploading to our media, and can you go through that process? Keep up the awesome work. Rich Bottom.
Yeah, Rich, we actually went through that process on last week's feedback show. It's a tool called Our Media Publisher, and you can download it right from the Our Media website. I have not actually had it crash since then, and I really suspect it had something to do with the server on their end, and well, that and a combination of the software not expecting some condition that the server was providing.
Hi Larry, just as a follow-up to the CD30 MP3 player, I am now using the new Scansoft Voices with the CD30 MP3 player. I was also wondering if you knew the answer to this question. Do you know if the Plextic PTR1 will record in stereo if the microphone is a stereo mic? Chris.
Hey Chris, the way I understand it, the microphone jack on the PTR1 is actually a mono jack. So you would actually have to use an amplified microphone with the line-in jack on the PTR1. And there are a couple of examples of some amplified microphones on the frequently asked questions section of blindcooltech.com. So check those out, and if any of you all have any more amplified mics or some more information about mics to add to that, definitely let us know and we'll get them on there where everybody can have access to that information in a fairly concise manner.
The program you were using, that was called CC Publisher, correct? Rich Cavallaro, check up.
Oh, well, no, Rich, actually it was Our Media Publisher is the program I was using to upload our media files, or still am.
Hi, Larry, I understand that when you upload directly to archive.org, it takes 24 hours before the file is available for download. I just successfully uploaded to archive.org. However, I also read somewhere that when you upload to ourmedia.org, it uploads right away, and there is no 24-hour time frame. How would one upload to ourmedia.org and not do it via archive.org? Rich Cavallaro.
Okay, Rich, that's exactly right. In fact, I've had it take 2 days uploading to archive.org. But what you need to do is go to ourmedia.org, and there's a Publish Your Media link. Go on there, and there you can either upload your file right on the website, or what I recommend is downloading a file called Our Media Publisher. It's a program, and you run it and tell it the file you want and your login information and everything, and it sends it up there, and it really is available. They say, you know, when the program finishes uploading, it says your file will be available within an hour. Well, I don't think I've ever had it take more than 5 minutes, and it's usually is instantaneous. So check that out. Before we get into the voicemail, we actually haven't had anybody guess our mystery sound. So let's play it again. Anybody? It might be a tough one, so if you do have any guesses, you can call us on the comment line, and we'll give you that number at the end here.
Hi, Larry. This is Grant Hardy here. Just leaving a comment on your voicemail is something that I'd kind of like to put out to the people who listen to your show. And first, I will say, I only recently started listening to your show, and I like it immensely. It's very informative. And possibly you could include this on one of your listener feedback episodes. But I gather that you use a Gmail account, blindcooltech@gmail.com. And as many of us know, Gmail is an email service from Google, but apart from either the POP3 interface or the basic HTML interface, which has next to no features, Gmail is not very accessible for blind people in the least. And although we could have some pretty complex scripts or set files, I think the simplest solution would be to come up with some way that users of either JAWS or Window Eyes or whatever could click on the underlined text, which is not proper links, but which actually, when you click on it with a mouse, acts as a link. If we could have some way to click on that with the virtual cursor, or whatever you call it, with Window Eyes, I think it would be very easy to navigate the interface, and I'm just kind of putting out the call in case any script developer is interested in writing a basic script or a set file or whatever. My JAWS script knowledge is pretty rusty at the time being. Or if there's any alternative means that you use to access Gmail, including, you know, labels, creating filters, signatures, all that jazz, which I don't think you can do with the basic HTML interface. All right, well, thanks, Larry, and keep up the great work.
Okay, Grant, appreciate the comments. I don't use the HTML filter on Gmail. I primarily use Gmail in Outlook Express. It makes it much, much easier. And, of course, that's the POP3 that you're mentioning there. I have, though, oops, clipping a little bit, let me back off. I have, on many occasions, gone to the Gmail website, though, and, you know, used the mouse pointer to click a message to open it. You're right, it's not a great interface. So I'm with you with a call out there for anyone that's a great script developer. One other approach that would be worth considering is using the Google API to get the messages. So, in other words, an external program can use the Google API to perform all kinds of interaction with Google, actually. I would highly encourage people to use either Outlook Express or Outlook or whatever your email client is. I've actually been even using it with the Mutt program in Linux, and it works just fine. So that's the way I would encourage you to use it instead of going to the website. But I can see some reasons why you would need to go to the website.
Hello, Larry. This is Michael Killian. This recording is being made on Tuesday, September 20th, 2005. I'm listening to your feedback program, number 117. I've already listened to 118. And you made some comments on 118 that suggested not that my headphones were backwards. I specifically verified that with another program with the headphones and everything else being exactly the same. And I think you have your microphones hooked up backwards. Your left microphone plugged into the right jack and the right microphone plugged into the left jack. So that would appear that your microphone situation is giving us sounds backwards. You would tell me that you were turning right and that the traffic sound should be on the left, yet I'm hearing it on the right. So then you might want to check your microphone placement. Since I'm not the only person to observe this, I think it might be worthwhile to investigate. With that, I shall let you go and hear your response. Bye.
Yeah, I actually noticed that a while back, too. I thought maybe the iRiver was wired up wrong or something, but then it was doing it wrong on the Olympus as well. So I did find out what the story is. I'm just wearing them wrong. So they were totally backwards. You're exactly right.
Hey, Larry. This is Eric from Mountain Valley, California. I was listening to your Point of Reference podcast, and I found a story about when I was first working with my guide dog, Boomer. We'd only been together for and it was pretty, it made me laugh, because when you were talking about being in the hotel and the elevators, it made me think of this. I was at a job interview, and I was trying to find my way back to, I had forgotten to ask the interviewer where the elevator was when I'd left after the interview was over. And I didn't want to go back in and ask him, because I thought it was a pride thing. I made a good first impression. I didn't want to come off like the blind guy that needed help. Now, hindsight, of course, says that he wouldn't have cared. He probably would have thought nothing of it, would have been glad to help me find it, but, you know, when you're in a situation, it's just a question of, like, I want to put the best foot forward possible, and I knew we had worked on find commands at the guide dog school, so I just thought I would put these to the test, and I said, Boomer, find the elevator, come on, buddy, and we found a door, and I put my hand forward after I felt it with my foot, I put my hand forward to check it out, trying to find the call button. And it wasn't an elevator at all. It was a recessed door. But the doors were recessed as elevator doors are. But it had a doorknob on it. So I thought, okay, this is not where we want to be. So I said, good boy. Okay, come on, find the elevator. And he took off again, and I followed him, and we found another door. Same thing. So I started thinking, man, are all these doors like this? This is going to be really tough. So not really knowing what else to do, since there was no one else around, I just told him, come on, Boomer, find the elevator. And we start heading off again. And all of a sudden, it was like something clicked in his mind, and he just stopped for a split second and turned us in a different direction and very, very purposefully started wandering in a dedicated direction. He was on the mission, man. He knew where we were going, and he was happy to take us there. And I was saying, yes, good boy, good boy. Find the elevator. Come on, buddy, that's it. And he stopped. I put my foot forward. He'd taken us to the top of the stairs going down. We were on the second floor, so we only had one floor to go down. But I started cracking up. I couldn't believe he figured he was able to put two and two together and say, man, I know we want to go down, and I know I'm having trouble finding what he wants, but I think this will work. I mean, it was pretty impressive. Yeah, this guy was intelligent, very amazing. And I praised him so much for that because I was so relieved and also just impressed. But it backfired on me because I praised him so much for that, that for the next 3 or 4 months, every time we went to find an elevator, he'd take me to the stairs. Oh, man. But I just thought that was funny when you were talking about elevators and having no point of reference. That just brought that story to mind. Also, real quick, I wanted to thank you for all your programs and mentionings of the book boards, because I got one, and I have been so happy with that product. It has made my life so much easier in ways that are very small but very significant. I mean, for example, just the ability to scan a book that my wife is going to read and have it. We're planning on reading the book Eldest by Christopher Paolini. And just the idea that I don't have to lug around a tape recorder, I don't have to be at my PC, I can just scan the book, have it, put it on the book port, and then she and I can read the book together. It's just awesome. I love that. That is so cool. I listen to podcasts on it. It's a great device, and I'm sure there are things that I haven't even scratched the surface on. I mean, I figured out a way around my editing. I like to edit books as I read them, and with the book port, what I do is I just record memos. Every time I encounter an error, I record it in a memo, and after I'm done with the book, I just pull it up on my PC, and I just listen to all the memos that I have regarding that book, and bam, I can fix it. And it just takes me about 2 hours to clean all the errors up, and I'm good to go. It's amazing. Thank you so much for developing, and thank you for drawing attention to it on your podcast, because I'd heard about it before, but I kind of went, it's not something I need. I like to edit as I read. I don't see how this would help me. And thanks to your podcast, I was able to, well, not be so short-sighted, pun intended. So thank you. And thanks for a great podcast. Keep them up. And I'm going to go because I'm about to run out of time on this thing, and I'm intending to babble like a brook. So have a great day, and talk to you soon.
Well, thanks, Eric. That's a great dog story. Sometime we'll have to try to get some people to submit some other good dog stories. I've got a few of them myself that don't have time to get into on this show. We're already running long, but I love good dog stories. And glad you're enjoying the book port. So keep us informed about how that's going.
Good morning, Larry. This is Steve Guerra from Independent Living Aids, and I've recently started listening to your podcast, The Blind Cool Tech, and I'm finding them very, very informative. That chuckle is not because they're funny and they're weird, but they're very, very informative, and it's a whole new technology that I have just recently gotten into. And I think after reading several different podcasts randomly, I think a podcast for how to get started with a podcast or a podcast on from beginning to end as to what someone has to do about getting a FeedBurner account, if they need to subscribe or sign up for a LiveJournal account, and how they can take their MP3 files and get them coded for XML so they can be uploaded for FeedBurner, etc. I've looked all around and I've read a lot of different things, but I still haven't seen any sequence of steps of how to create a podcast and get it from point A, the beginning point, to point Z. So you can use my audio comments freely on your podcast.
I just found here a few weeks ago that, well, first of all, that's a great idea. I agree with you. We need to do that. There's a podcast that's starting to do a very similar thing.
This is the Digital Media Cast Experiment, show number 2.
Back to the lab. You're part of the Digital Media Cast Experiment with your host from Logic Assistance, Michael Carino.
Welcome back, folks. My name is Michael Carino, and you've reached the Digital Media Cast Experiment. We're going to be talking today about the fact that the internet is the natural extension of all media.
This is the one I was telling you about, whose website is dmcex.com. And also, there's a book up on bookshare.org about podcasting now, so there's a couple more resources you might want to check out. I don't have the name of the book right off the top of my head, but if you go into Bookshare, just do a search for podcast, and I believe it's probably the only one in there.
Hey, Larry, this is Eric in Fountain Valley, California, and I just want to leave you a quick comment, or as quick as one can expect from me, who is rather long-winded, but I'll try to keep it down to a minimum of windage. Couple things. First of all, I really enjoyed the interview with Steve and Rob, and enjoyed the lunch, because now you got me hankering for a calzone. Man, sounds yummy. But not due to have breakfast for another 2.5 hours, so I'll just have to grin and bear it. But that's okay. Thanks for the podcast. Cool information. And I'm the guy who was asking about editing a book as you... I like to edit books as I read them. And I'll be honest with you, the reason I haven't done the note-taker thing is because for some reason, unfathomable to me, who is quite an intelligent human being, the note-taker is very intimidating. I've read over the manual, the documentation, and I'm from old school of Braille. I know grade 2, I've flirted with grade 3. But computer Braille has never, I've never caught into it. I've never really had any reason up until now to try to cotton to it. But it's not something that comes naturally to me, and I'm between having to learn computer Braille and learning all the different chords for the note taker and being, it seems in my mind, irrational though it may be, it seems a very alien environment to work in. I think what would probably help a lot is if you ever did a show, you know, Bookport Note Taker for Dummies. Because that would be me. I keep it as elementary as possible, and I'd be saying, thank you, appreciate it. Because for some reason, I mean, I'm generally good at grasping things of a technical nature. I'm very big into home theater. I can hook up a whole audio video system with minimal difficulty, and yet when I start reading the Bookport note taker section of the manual, I just kind of go, yeah. So, but if you could do a show on that, that would be great. Also, thanks for the Dallas sound seeing tours. Those are a lot of fun. I felt like I was there with you and wanted to get some fudge from that guy. That guy was really cool. That shop was really cool. Haven't heard the carriage ride yet. I'm a little behind, actually, even though I just heard 121 this morning. Anyway, just wanted to leave those comments. Have a great day. Keep up the wonderful podcasts. I appreciate them. I appreciate you doing them. And you're a great guy. So, talk to you later. Bye.
All right, good comments. Thanks, Eric. That's kind of funny. I guess the users, when they heard, the listeners, I keep calling users, when the listeners heard that Steve Gomez interview, we hadn't heard your first comment yet about editing the books, and I didn't realize that at the time when I said that either, so that's kind of funny the way the time shifting phasing goes on here. I definitely plan on doing a note-taking a note-taking podcast tutorial for the book port. In fact, it may be two and possibly three podcasts. Gosh, I meant to have that done already, and, you know, things just keep piling up and more things happening, but that's going to be a very valuable one. I need to get that out there because it's a very powerful tool.
Hello, Larry. This is Gary Glossinger. I have a question for you. It's in regard to a liquid-cooled computer. I was wondering, is there any kind of protection put into the liquid-cooled computers to keep them from springing a leak and toasting the machine? I know it may sound crazy to ask that question, but I can't help it. It just popped into my head. If you know anything about it, I'd appreciate an answer. If not, well, I'll take whatever guess you want to give me. Thanks. Keep up the good work on the podcast. Bye.
Actually, I thought of that question, too, when I first heard about these. And apparently, there's nothing to prevent springing a leak except using quality parts. So, you know, as I was reading on about liquid-cooled computers, I found that the main thing that they're using is a quality pump and quality tubing and so forth, so that you just prevent the whole leak situation. If you ever did spring a leak, though, you would definitely have problems.
Larry, this is Don Ball, and I got Big Tim Cummins here on the line with me, and he was talking about your in-ear binaurals and how you were wearing them. And I did want to let you know that those microphones do go inside the ear. I know if you've got the ones like I've got, they've got like a curved plastic hook that goes down to a round condenser mic with a round diaphragm or a little round screen. When you've got them on properly, both diaphragms should face outward, and both diaphragms should be right over your eardrum. I'll tell you how I put them in, and they may be more comfortable for you with the windscreens on the mics. But what I do is there's a little hole there at the top of your inner earlobe around the outer earlobe arch. You know, there's a little hole there, and you stick the tip of that little pointed in-ear binaural right in that hole. And then the curved part of the mic goes around the inner arch of your earlobe, and then if the mic is positioned properly in there, the little hole makes the tip, you know, stay in there firmly, and then the mic guides on around the inner arch of your earlobe, and then the mic element ends up right at your eardrum, and they lock in that way and feel comfortable. It feels like you've got a set of earbuds in. So try sticking that point right in the top of your earlobe hole there. And see if the rest, and when you've got them in properly, the left-right channels will be in the right place, the diaphragms of the mics will be facing outward, and everything will sound lovely. So try that and see if that helps. And if it doesn't, you can call me, and we'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you, Don. And thanks for not laughing too hard while you provided that information. I will... next time I do the morning walk to work, I will try the microphones in the correct orientation and the correct position in the ears. I just hope that it's not going to block the hearing any. Okay, folks, that's going to do it for 129 of Blind Cool Tech. I'm Larry Skutkan, your host. If you would like to leave a comment on our comment line, the number is 206-984-9203. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com. And you can visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Y'all have a great one, and we'll see you next time.